See how long YouTube takes to show up. Yeah, I
saw
your pictures. Your pictures of your dogs earlier, man.
Yeah, I enjoying the cool weather.
There we go. We're working on YouTube. Oh, yeah. Sorry, you get that delay. Hey, Miss Sherry.
Why are you repeating yourself?
Because I like to hear myself.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all might not like to hear me. I like my. Here comes Mother. I just about have a full house.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Alec.
Jadalyn and Amanda might be watching too. I'm not sure.
Good deal. Good.
Okay, good.
Shows somebody on YouTube. I can't never tell who that is, or Facebook or something. It just tells me it shows a one.
And my mom's on YouTube.
Okay.
Is it working, Mom?
Should be.
It is working and she can hear you. She said.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Daddy. How y'all doing?
Hi, my real mom.
I'm trying to get right now. I've been running around trying to hurry up and get in here.
I hear you.
Yeah. I got this little teeny picture and I can't make it big.
I don't know.
Like this phone.
Oh, you've minimized it apparently. You can tap that picture, and somewhere on there, there's a button that'll make it bigger, but it'll show like two errors or something, or a box, either one. Or you might, I was going to say, or she might hit the X. I was worried about that.
So, are y'all doing okay?
Yes, ma'am, doing pretty well.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'll speak for everybody.
New tea that your sister wanted me to try. It's good tea.
A good deal.
I'm not much of a tea drinker, but you know, I thought, okay, well, I'll try some. And see.
If it's free, it's for me.
It wasn't free, babe. I had to pay for it.
Oh no, that's right. She don't work for S&D no more. That's right.
No.
Hey, Miss Myra, I'm guessing you hit the X.
I'm sorry.
I was worried about that. I was like, oh, she might hit the X.
Have you got a bigger picture now?
Everything looks normal.
Yay!
Good.
As whatever normal.
I was about to say, that's what I'm thinking too. Whatever normal is, yeah. No doubt.
Miss Myra, Will, Miss Willie, Allison, my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Willie.
Hello, hello. I don't want to leave nobody out.
Everybody's here. Here and accounted for, right?
Oh, I found a stock photo of quote unquote myself.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been, I've been working on a new website and getting it going because our current provider is ending their website feature and a few other features, so we're having to move. Mm-hmm. And so I put up a staff page, or they had a staff page already, basically, and put myself, and I'll put Hannah on there, but I don't have a picture of Hannah, so it's a stock photo of Hannah, so she said she found her stock photo of herself.
Yeah, I have blonde hair in my stock photo.
That's right.
I thought she had a picture of herself on there at one point.
On Zoom, yeah, but not on the website itself.
I don't know where it went on Zoom. It me either. Yeah. I'll have to try to fix it.
Okay. How do we find the website?
It will be eventually. I'll get it to our innovateccc.com address. Right now, we still got the old site on there. Mm-hmm. This one here is a little bit different. Once I get it changed, the address won't change. I'll change where the address points to.
Yeah.
So it'll go to the right place. I want to get the site built and everything before I put it up there for public right now.
I have the preview link because I'm supposed to send a bio, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can put that out to everybody, really, but it's actually the Tidely link that they give you. Which is public. If anybody's got that address, they can get to it. But But anyway, so yeah, I've been working on that, continuing to work on our Mighty Network site, which is church.innovateccc.com. And that's where I hope to have more of our church features outside of Facebook and outside of our time together. There, I hope to eventually do some small group stuff and things like that, where it can kind of like be our church building, but on the web, so to speak. And so whenever we're not on Zoom, you can go there and it's just us. It's nothing else like Facebook. It doesn't have all the ads and all that junk. It would just be us. So, and there's also an app that goes along with it.
Huh? I haven't been on Facebook
for a long. Yeah, I kind of hate Facebook, but it's kind of a necessary evil, you know.
Looking at nothing.
Yeah, it just takes up time. When you're bored, just scroll, you know. But anyway, welcome everybody. So glad to have everyone on here. So glad to hear everybody's doing well. Everything's good here. Beautiful weather. We're like 66 right now. Yeah, 68, whatever. Took the dog for a walk already. It's a beautiful Sunday here, and some of the leaves are turning already in some places. And as I've been watching the news, they're talking about that up in the mountains and all that. But you're seeing it here too. My maples out back are already turning red. And so about to get the beauty of fall, as we've been looking forward to, and no more 90-degree weather here at least.
Yes.
So now it's going to be, you know, 40-degree weather in the morning.
Worse than me, I ain't going to be sweating as bad.
I hear you, right, yeah.
I'll be sweating to the oldies.
I hear you sweating to the oldies. So anyway, welcome to everybody out there in streaming land. You know, you hear other people talking to us. They're on Zoom with us, which is linked in our Innovate Church group on Facebook. If you want to join us, the link is there. If not, hang out on Facebook or YouTube, where it is you're watching us from. Pop a hello in the chat so that we know you're on with us. It'd always be great, just so we can see that you're part of us here. We want to make sure we include you in our community together. This is our Sunday message, getting ready for. I know I'm chatty today for whatever reason. But anyway, just so glad to have everybody on here and have the opportunity to deliver God's word to us today. And I pray that it comes through. As I was telling them, I kind of wrestle with it a little bit today. But we trust the Holy Spirit and not me anyway to guide our lesson, our word, and our time together. And so with that, let us go to God in prayer. Father God, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time of coming together. Lord God, remove any kind of blocks within our minds and help us to have open ears and open minds and open hearts to hear your word, to hear what it is you have to say to us, Lord God. And I pray that you speak that word through me as I have the opportunity to deliver it. Let it be your word and not mine, and may you be honored and glorified. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let me get everybody muted and get our title slide popped up. All right, so welcome once again, friends. My name is Gerald. I'm the pastor at Innovate Church, coming to you live on Zoom right now and through YouTube and Facebook. So glad to have you on with us wherever it is you are catching us from. We are still looking at Jesus' red letters. We're trying to focus on what it is he has said specifically in the Bible, where many of the Bible versions have them in red. And today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, which is one of his parables that he teaches. And, you know, sometimes in life we can get so overwhelmed with the demands of life and I will say bills and economics of life and health and needs and all these things. And so sometimes it can kind of steal our focus from what it should be. So we always want to make sure, as faithful people, as people seeking God and wanting to live for him, that we are focused on the right things at the right time. And I think today's word kind of points out some of that to us. Let me get our scripture up for us. There we go. So, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, Dr. Weiserby, a former pastor, preacher, teacher, has a quote. He says, The heart of every problem is the problem in the heart. And so, with that question in mind, or with that quote in mind, you know, what is the heart of the man who is asking about his inheritance here? As he stands in the middle of a crowd that was there to hear Jesus teaching, he wants to get this answer to his inheritance problem. Apparently, his brother, or I believe his brother, has taken his inheritance for himself. And so, going by Jesus' response, his concern was covetousness. Now, covetousness, is defined as the strong desire after the possession of worldly things. And in fact, it's actually the 10th commandment of the 10 commandments. But in that commandment, it's actually applied to wanting or desiring something that someone else has. But here in Jesus' parable, he uses it to warn his hearers of his words against covetousness. And he applies it in this way. He tells of a prosperous farmer who had continued to grow more and more crops and needs a place to store up all that he has grown. His current storehouses, which he already has already filled them apparently, need to be torn down, rebuilt bigger and better so that he can store this new bumper crop. And so the man asking about an inheritance where he's probably been wronged by his brother and the prosperous farmer are both deceived into being too overly concerned about their cares for this life. You might could say they were more concerned about earthly riches instead of being rich in God. You see, their treasure they were seeking was what would satisfy their own soul, or maybe we should say their own flesh, if we're to be honest. We know the flesh usually wars against the soul. It wars against what God wants us to have, according to what the scriptures say. It's always at war with us, trying to keep us from doing right. And we always find ourselves in the midst of that battle with what the flesh wants and what the spirit wants. So Jesus is giving this parable as a warning to his hearers and to us about being overly concerned about our lives this side of eternity. But we all have concerns in this life, right? You know, I'm sure that a lot of our concerns are centered around money, because of course money is required to make a living, to pay for things that we need on the here and now, in this life, on this side of eternity. Even in Christ's own teachings throughout the scriptures, he tells us to be wise about money. The Bible speaks a lot about our money and our possessions. And he even gives us multiple parables or multiple teachings about using our talents or our gifts and our abilities that are given to us by him to bring about a return or a fruit for him, or to make sure that what we're doing is accounting for the kingdom, or adding to the kingdom of God. But again, we all have food to buy, bills to pay, cars to keep running, health needs to care for, and maybe even, you know, some of us may even have loved ones to provide for, especially if you're a parent or you've got family you're trying to care for, these type of situations. And so you can feel that pressure that the need for money and the need for caring for others and things that are within your control compounding on top of you. And so many times if we're honest with ourselves, we can just kind of feel overwhelmed, and it can just be simply too much for us to deal with. And so in those cases, what do we do? like the farmer and sort of like the man about the inheritance, we're looking forward to that day when we can relax, eat, drink, and be merry. For many of us, it may be a striving to win the lottery, or it may be, you know, to sell as much product or to work as many jobs or make as much money as we possibly can so that we can store it away so that one day we can sit back, relax, eat, and be merry. Some of you may even call this retirement. I believe there's an even bigger issue in this parable when we look at the story of the farmer, because I believe that part of the warning or the problem here is that the man had turned his covetousness, keep saying that word wrong, into an idol. His desire for more and more and bigger and better wasn't just about having more. It was about finding his security, his peace, his comfort, his salvation in what he could gain for himself. His wealth had become his God. It was all that he had worked for, sought for, and wanted more of, trusting in what he felt that it could give to him. But Jesus lays it out there plain for him. He calls him a fool. You see, the truth is that you and I are fools at times too. You know, we get our minds wrapped up in this pressure to provide for, to have enough of, or have more than enough in most of our cases, if we're honest with ourselves, that we find our peace and our security in what we have instead of what God has for us. We find our peace in our possessions or in our jobs or in our status or in our careers instead of what God says we are, finding our value in what he says. But if we look at this man's conversation, I'm going to say his conversation with himself, and I don't know how many of you talk to yourself. You know, they say it's a problem if you start to answer yourself. Well, this man here, he kind of has this conversation with himself in Jesus' parable, and I'm basically kind of paraphrasing here. It said, "Self," he said, "what shall I do with all my crops? Well, self, here's what I do. Tear down and rebuild bigger and better so that I can store more of my crops for myself. Then I myself would tell my soul, 'Soul, in a few years, we'll be good to go. We'll be able to live the high life, taking it easy, drinking champagne, and eating filet mignon. We'll be able to relax. We'll have all that we could ever need.'" And I don't know if you notice in this parable, the man says between seven to ten times, he speaks of himself. So who was his concern about? It's only himself that he seems to care about. But he's looking to himself for wisdom. He's not ever asking God for wisdom. And so what happens when we seek the wisdom of ourself, or you might say of our flesh? Most of the times it's going to lead us astray. We're going to be given bad information because the flesh desires what is against the spirit. The flesh desires what it can have now. What can gratify the flesh? That could be sexual, that could be possessions, that could be adultery, that could be riches, that could be drugs, that could be so many different things that the flesh is going to want against what the spirit wants for us. This guy had found his calling, he had found his desire, his fleshly desire in the more that he could own or the more that he could grow in store for himself. You see, he should have been concerned with what God wanted him to do instead of what pleased himself. Instead, all of his plans were all about how he was eventually going to get to the point where he could live out his days for who? For himself. And God was like, "Here it is. You've lived all these years under my blessing. I've made your crops grow. I brought you sun. I brought you rain in the times of need. I made you healthy. I gave you storehouses upon storehouses. And yet all you've done is hoarded it for yourself. You never once asked me my purposes for my blessing of you. You were making your plans to relax and take it easy instead of growing in riches toward me. Now here you are. This is your last day. What you've stored up, you won't enjoy. You've traded me for these temporary goods." See, so often it's too easy for us to be overly concerned about this life and that we live on this side of eternity that we trade those concerns for our eternal destination. We seek the comfort of what we will have in eternity. We seek it here and now. We want to take it easy now. We want no pain now. We want no toil, no suffering now. And right now on this side, it seems like the only thing that can keep us from those things is our possessions or our money or what we can grow or what we can be here and now. All these things are temporary. They'll be gone. But this life itself, one day will be gone. It'll fade away. We could have just tomorrow for all we know, or we could have another 70 years. And even those that have already lived 70 years will tell you it's been brief. Every day is shorter and shorter as we get older, is it not? So the question is, where are you focusing your treasure? Are you trying to build treasure here, or are you seeking treasure and richness toward God? But see, so we can be deceived by wealth or by the want or lust of wealth, but we can also, of self, we can also be deceived by wealth. And let me first say, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Sometimes you get that reward, I guess we would say, for the work that you've done. Sometimes it's just a gift given to you. Sometimes you're just brought up in it. It's nothing that you did for yourself. Wealth in itself is not the problem. Many of us might even look at it and say you're blessed because you're rich. And of course, for many of us, we covet what you have. We too want to be rich, right? Many of us feel like that's what we need to be happy. But I believe that this desire for being rich is because we want the good life here and now. We don't want to worry about the bills anymore. We don't want to worry about how we're going to have food tomorrow. We want to know for sure that all that is secure, and we find our security in it instead of our security in God. And so it's so easy for us to be deceived and focus on this life for ourselves. And many of us, again, we feel that we're so blessed when we have material wealth come our way. Yet in those times, we may also forget to share what the Lord has blessed us with others. You see, many times we are blessed to be a blessing. What God has given us is to be spent on others instead of ourselves. How difficult that is for us, especially here in the American life, I can say for sure. You see, the farmer falsely believed that his wealth and crops would soothe his soul, when in fact it may have soothed his mind and his flesh, but he was in direct danger of damning his soul. That's the danger that there is in being rich. You know, Jesus actually says in another parable, the one of sowing seed that you may be familiar with or may not be, but he speaks of seed that would be choked out. And he says, what does the choking of that seed, meaning the fruitfulness of his gospel, of his salvation in a person's life, is the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. When we become obsessed with what we have going on in this life and seeking the riches that we can gain in this life, it can choke out God's word in our life. Can choke out our faith. It takes our eyes off of the one that gives us life and gives us the blessings and provisions that we need, and calls us to begin to focus inwardly, to be selfish. So we, even as Christians, have to be careful not to be deceived by our wealth. Again, wealth alone is fine, but we are warned of the danger of it combined with the cares of this world within our flesh. And you see, money and possessions can both be a blessing and a curse. We've talked before how whenever we do receive some things, when we do gain more, it can also cause us to be stressed, more concerned about losing what it is that we have gained. And see, again, there's nothing wrong with using your gifts, your talents, or skills to obtain earthly riches. The problem is when your pursuit of that overtakes your soul. When we're so concerned about our own well-being, forgetting that it is truly God that holds our being or our well-being in his own hands. This man himself, as we read, is he was all about me and mine and my. What am I going to do with what I have done? Instead of realizing that his prosperity come from the hands of God for the purposes of God. The same thing goes for you and I. Whatever God has given to us is for us to use for his kingdom and his purposes. Not only had this man misplaced his faith and hope, but apparently he'd have been ignorant of doing anything else with his goods except for to store them up for himself. We don't read anywhere else where he had given any away or where he thought of how he could help anyone else. It was only about how he could build bigger and better storehouses to store more of it. But scripture gives us responsibilities for those of us that are rich. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, Paul instructs Timothy. He says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. That's right, God does want you to enjoy the things that he has given you. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So again, not only the rich, but all of us should take heed of these words given to Timothy. If our goal is to please and honor God, then we shall be rich in good deeds, being generous and sharing with others what God has already given to us. This is what God, what Jesus means when he says he should be rich toward God. You see, God commands that we love others, that we do good to others, that we hold others in higher esteem than ourselves, that we do to others what we would have them do to us, that we provide for those in need, that we give generously. These are the things that we should be about on this side of eternity, storing up treasures in heaven that we'll get to enjoy on that side for eternity as well. But again, this man was only concerned about his own life and his own needs, hoarding his crops for himself. And so there's one more lie that I believe the man in the parable falls for that we can be in danger of as well. The man presumed that he could gain enough, that he would then be able to live securely one day free of concern about the economics of his life. He had worked toward the goal, hoarding all that he could, tearing down and building bigger and better storehouses. Though he'd already likely had enough, his deception had taught him otherwise. He presumed that one day he'd have it good. He'd be able to take it easy. He presumed that he'd be okay when he owned enough. But God knew that that man's day was calling. His check was about to be cashed, and his check wasn't about his money or his goods. His check was about his soul. His money couldn't buy his soul. His crops, his bigger storehouses, everything that he had gained and worked his life for did nothing good for his soul. But it was being demanded from him at this time by God. The same soul that he had told, eventually you'll have ample goods laid up so that you can relax, eat, drink, and be married. Be merry, excuse me, not married. is now being called to account. The man's concerned about his security in this life while not considering the next eternity. So how about you? How have you or what have you presumed upon in your life? Are you like this man storing away more and more, trying to gain more and more in this life so that one day you can have it made? What if today was your last day? What would you have done right? What would you, or would you, be considered as rich toward God? See, I believe that too many of us are walking around right now presuming that we have tomorrow. We're going to go to sleep tonight never thinking that tomorrow might not come. Most of us listening to me now are going to believe that it will, and it may, by God's grace. But the same thing is that many of us are presuming upon God's grace to save us, even though we've given him no thought in our day-to-day lives, just simply living for ourselves as this man himself did. But Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You see, many of us are presuming because we believe in Jesus that we are good with God. But Jesus himself says that you may call him Lord, yet the Father will deny even knowing you. Why? Because you've not been seeking his will. You've been living for yourself, calling him Lord, but not giving him lordship, not obeying him in your life, presuming that all you've got to do is call him Lord and all will be well. Same thing for the farmer in the parable. He wasn't seeking God's will for his goods. He was seeking his own. But when we truly come to faith in Christ, when we truly give him our lives, we seek God's will in our lives. Not because doing what right is what saves us, but because we've truly given our lives, the lordship of our lives, over to him. That is when we reach salvation. That is when we receive salvation. When he is truly Lord. We are now his and we live for his purposes. You see, if we want to be rich towards God, then we need to be focused on doing what he desires of us and spending ourselves for his kingdom instead of our own. No more do we live for ourselves. The Bible tells us we die to ourselves. We crucify ourselves as Christ was crucified for us, so that we might live for him. That's salvation. That's receiving God's gift of grace. So don't presume that you're right with God because you call him Lord. Make sure that he's truly your Lord by seeking to obey him as best you can every day. Live for him, not for yourself. Live for eternity, not for this life. See, the man in today's parable, his problem wasn't his crops or his riches. It was what he was doing with them. They were his security, his hope, his assurance, his salvation. But friends, God alone is meant to be these things in our lives. So we all have to guard ourselves against covetousness, and greed, so that we don't place our faith and hope in anything but Christ. So that we don't give anything glory in our lives but God himself. That we recognize that every day is a gift from him. Everything we have is a gift from him. And may we use all that he's blessed us with for his purpose and for his kingdom, because our hope and our treasure is in eternity with him. Let us pray. Father God, again, we just pray, Lord, thanks for all that you have given to us, all that you have bestowed to us. Father, we know that each and every day we wake up and we have breath in our lungs, that it is by the gift and grace of you. Even if we have not given ourselves to you, you have given us your grace by giving us another opportunity to place our faith and hope and trust in you, knowing that you are the one that gives us life. You are the source of all knowing, all peace, comfort that goes beyond our own understanding. No riches shall take the place of you. No storehouses of grain or crops or anything that we shall own shall take the place of you in our lives. Help us to keep you first and foremost. And help us to love others as we have loved you, or as you have loved us. Father, help us to have that heart of generosity, to seek ways to help others around us, to show them the love of Christ by sharing with them what you have given us, and then teaching them to do the same. Father God, may you move in each of our hearts to make our hearts break for what breaks yours, so that we can be more like you in the world around us, so that we can store up more treasure, bring more people and more souls into eternity with us, so that we can see the kingdom of God here on earth as well as in eternity, so that we can bring you glory in all that we do. For it is in your name and the name above all names, Jesus Christ, that we pray today. Amen. Friends, again, I thank you and pray that if this has meant anything to you, that you would share it with someone else too, so that they could hear the word, so that they may be encouraged, so that they may come to faith in Christ, or may find themselves ready to give him more of their lives. Friends, again, we're so glad to have you on with us. We love you. Pray that you're doing good. If you need prayer or anything, be sure to message us at innovateccc.com. It's where you can go to get a hold of us the best. Again, let us know if there's any way we can help you. In Christ, amen.